Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March 5th. We're calling this meeting to order at 1:33 p.m. With me today is the Vice Chair, Senator Costello, Senator Birch, Senator Gray Jackson, and hopefully Senator Bishop will be with us shortly, and of course, myself, Chair Reinbold. I want to thank Natasha, Nancy, and Eric, all three of you, for your help. We really appreciate you guys and the work you do for us. Everybody knows to silence your cell phone. We go through that every time, just to make sure that things nobody gets embarrassed here. It doesn't interfere with the different instruments that we have over there. So anyway, today we're going to be hearing the governor's appointees to various boards and commissions, and then we will take up Senator Stevens' bill, Senate Bill 61, with the Commercial Fisherman's Fund. right now, we've got a few people online. We've got Ashley Dieters from the Real Estate Appraiser Board. And then we've got two appointees from the Nursing Board online. So, first of all, we're going to go ahead and take it in order of the script. So we're going to take the real estate appointee first. Does everyone have the resumes before them? Mm-hmm. Okay. So with that, hey, good afternoon, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, it's Ashley. What is your last name?
My last name is Stetson.
Okay, it just changed on my screen. Got it. Okay. Okay. Ashley Stetson. Okay, now it's right on my screen. So if you could just state your name, affiliation, and why you would like to serve on the Certified Real Estate Appraisers Board, that would be terrific. So please proceed.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Ashley Stetson. I'm an appointee to the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers.
Ashley, are you
7 years old?
Ashley, just a second. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, ma'am. I'm on a cell phone.
Okay, yeah, just speak clearly. It got a little mumbly there for a minute.
Sorry, I might have lost a little voice. Residual screaming at a hockey tournament this last weekend as well.
Okay.
So I am an appointee to the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers. I'm 37 years old. I live in Wasilla and own and operate a commercial construction company that bids and performs projects all over the state.
Okay, Ashley, you just cut out again. Are you
okay.
are you moving around? Just once you get coming.
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead and continue.
Doing, coach.
Were you able to catch any of that?
We were able to count that you own a business, and then it cut out.
Okay. So it's a commercial construction company. We bid and perform projects all over the state of Alaska. I have vast experience in the contracting and construction industry, been involved in several private real estate development projects, and I currently hold a few corporate positions for various trusts and investments. I've owned rental properties, operated an asthma abatement company, that was some 20 years ago, and as well as a public water system operation company. So that's kind of a brief intro into my background.
Excellent. And can you tell us why you want to serve on this board?
Well, I think that I bring unique qualifications and broad experience base. I have a genuine understanding of how real estate and appraisal regulations impact the private sector. On the personal side, I've never served in the public sector in any capacity. And I believe that a position on a public board would broaden my perspective and supplement my overall professional experience.
Okay. Are you finished? Because I'm going to see if there's any
yes.
questions from any committee members. Any questions? Okay. There's no questions at this time. Ashley, is there anything you want to add at this point, or do you just want to hold on while I open and close public testimony?
No, I'll just stand by.
Okay, and I'll give you an opportunity to do closing comments, but it doesn't look like... Is there anybody in the room that wants to testify? Are you sure? Speak now. Forever hold your peace. Oh, I got to open public testimony. There's nobody lining up here, and I don't see anybody online except for, you know, the nursing appointee. So I'm going to close public testimony. Ashley, is there anything that I want to also say that Senator Click Bishop is with us as well? Is there any closing comments?
I guess I would like to add that, particularly with my experience in the licensing and operation of public water systems in Alaska, that is regulated under the state DEC drinking water program. I also have substantial knowledge and understanding of how to navigate the state regulations that oftentimes parallel or directly interlace with federal codes and regulations, similar to that of the state regulations that govern the real estate and legal industry. I can close with that.
Well, excellent. That's actually very, very valuable. I definitely think that'll bring something really good to the board. So with that, I'm not seeing anybody flagging me down to say anything. So we're going to go ahead and forward your name on, and we wish you well. Thank you
okay.
for being with
Thank
us,
you, ma'am.
Ashley. Okay, so next we are going to go to the Board of Nursing. We have two people with the Board of Nursing today. So if the committee members could please go to, we're going to take them in the order they called in. And Shannon Conley was first. So Shannon, I know I just said your name, but if you could restate your name, if you have any affiliation, tell us a little bit about yourself and most importantly, why you want to serve on this board, the Board of Nursing. So please proceed.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Oh, great. Thank you. I just wrote a real brief little statement. I'll read that if that's all right. My name is Shannon Connolly, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan who lives in the Mat-Su Valley at this time. Currently, I am serving as the vice chair of the City of Palmer's Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Board, and I volunteer in many capacities in my community and at my children's charter school. I've applied to serve on the State Board of Nursing as a member of the public, and while I'm not a professional in the medical field, I am a mother of a child with several health issues, and over the years, we've been fortunate to have some really incredible nurses that have gone above and beyond to help our family out. I would like to, the reason I would like to be on the board is I'd like to be able to ensure that we will continue to have quality nursing care in our state, and I'm hoping that by serving on the board, I'll be able to be instrumental in that. So that was my purpose of applying.
Oh, okay. I'm going to see Shannon. If there's, I know you, and I think highly of you. I want to know if there's any comments or questions from anybody. I don't see anybody. We have a quiet group here today. So, Shannon, if you could, is there any closing comments you would like to make? I'm going to open public testimony after Marcia Dieters, and I'm going to ask you to please hold on so we can do public testimony for both of you at the same time. But feel free to say any closing comments right now if you want to.
I know I don't have a lot of experience with nursing. However, I have learned a lot with my other board in the City of Palmer. I've learned how to find things out if I don't understand them and to just really work hard. So I'm looking forward to taking on a new opportunity to serve and to learn more about things that work in our communities.
Okay, well, thank you for your willingness to serve. You are being appointed to the public seat, so that does make sense.
Yes.
So next, we're going to go ahead and bring Marcia Dieters up. And Marcia, you are from Eagle River, and you're actually for the nursing seat, to the registered nurse seat. So can you hear us loud and clear, Marcia? Please state your name, if you have any affiliations, and also the purpose that you want to serve on the Board of Nursing. That would be terrific.
Okay. My name is Marcia Dieters. I live in Eagle River. I currently work at the Alaska Native Medical Center, and I'm their wound and ostomy nurse. I've been there for almost 4 years. I've been a nurse for 8 years, and previously my background includes pediatric primary care and also 3 years working in rural Alaska at the hospital in Bethel. I have a bachelor in science and psychology from UAA, and I have a master's in nursing from Frontier Nursing University. I applied for the Board of Nursing because I believe in high-quality nursing care in all delivery systems throughout Alaska, and I'm hoping to make sure that that continues and gets better. And I'm excited to have Shannon with us for the patient experience side of nursing care. That's also important to know someone who goes in and out of our system and what our care means to them.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to look around and see if there's any comments from any members on the committee. I don't see any comments from different committee members at this time, but I will tell you that I'm super impressed. You are getting magna cum laude bachelor's of psychology and magna cum laude with a nursing science and nutrition minor and a master's in nursing. I'm just like, whoa, it's pretty impressive, and you bring amazing rural experience. I just looks like you just really work super hard at what you do. So I'm excited that you've applied for this board. So I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony, Marcia, and then I'll give you an opportunity to have closing comments in just a moment. Okay, so we're opening public testimony both for Shannon Conley and also Marcia Dieters. Is there anybody in the room that would like to testify? Okay, I don't see any takers, and I don't see anybody online, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Is there any final comments for the Board of Nursing from any committee members? Okay, I think we're good. Marcia, if you'd like to say any final closing statements, please feel free.
I'm just excited to do this. It's not something that I kind of really thought about doing, but then the opportunity came up, and I would like to see what I can do for my profession on it as a board member.
Excellent. And is it Marisha? How do you say your name?
Marisha.
Okay, excellent.
Yes.
Okay, well, Marisha, thank you very, very much. We will be forwarding your name. It's official. It doesn't say one way or another right now how they're going to vote, but it is a formal process, and we will be forwarding your name. So we wish you the best, and thank you really very much for stepping up.
Yes, thank you.
Got through that extra super fast today. So next, what we're going to be doing is we are going to be hearing a bill. Are you ready? Okay. So first of all, what I'm going I'm going to go ahead and move the Labor and Commerce. We reviewed the following recommendation appointees for a joint session. The Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers, Ashley Stetson, Board of Nursing, Shannon Conley, and Marisha Dieters. This does not reflect an intent by the members to vote for or against the individuals during further sessions. We're going to take a brief at ease while we bring the next presenter forward and we sign paperwork. My Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill number 61, version 31-LS0528/alpha before the committee with the attached fiscal note as the working document.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. Okay, Senator Stevens, absolute perfect timing. I was calling you up right at this second, so that was like clockwork. Okay, so welcome, Senator Stevens. We thank you, and of course, Tim Lampkin, to walk us through the bill. And we also have a few people, it looks like, which I'll mention shortly, that are able to testify and answer questions. But first of all, if you could just, you know the drill. You've been here how many years, Senator Stevens?
Well, 19. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Woo-hoo. All right.
So through the chair, this is, as my staff told me, this is a simple bill. As they all are, aren't they? The Fisherman's Fund serves as a fallback for insurance and workers' comp for commercial fishermen who are injured on the job. And this program actually predates statehood. It's been here a very long time. It's self-funded. The fishermen pay into the fund. That comes from a portion of their license fees. And it's intended to be the insurance of last resort. So P&I protection and indemnity insurance is a policy held by the owner of the vessel, and it covers not only their assets but also their crew. The incentive here is to get more vessels insured, take pressure off the Commercial Fishermen's Fund, the CFF, and it should prove to be a win for all stakeholders, including the state of Alaska. Tim Langquin is here with me. He knows all the intricacies of this bill, and I'm sure he can answer any question you may have.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tim Langquin, staff to Senator Stevens. Senator Stevens has given a pretty good introduction of the bill. I'm here pretty much just to help shepherd it. I'm happy to go through the sectional with you. You should also have on file some support letters from organizations. This isn't the first time we've had this bill before the legislature. It's a popular program. It's been fully functional for quite some time. I think the real stars here that need to be speaking before you are include the department and the stakeholders. So I believe we have a member of the council that should be online as well.
Okay. So if you can just hold on just a second, I'm going to just make sure that is Gray Mitchell in the room? Okay, so Gray is here, and he's Division Director, Workers' Compensation, Department of Labor and Commerce, and then Clay Bezanek, he's online, I believe. Just one second. Clay, yep. Okay, thank you. You're going to be just here for questions, is that right? Or did you want to testify?
I think everything's been spelled out pretty well. I don't know that I need to say much, but okay. I could speak for a little bit.
Let's hold on until I open public testimony if you want to officially testify. I was just trying to clarify because it says, yes, you want to testify here. If you could just hold on until I open that. We need to go through the sectional, and I'm just verifying that different people are lying. We also have Bob Kehoe, the executive director of Percy Sane Vessel Owners Association. Are you in the room?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we got Bob here, and then we've got Francis Leach, the executive director of United Fishermen of Alaska. Are they? Okay, excellent. Okay, and so I'm going to just go ahead, and there's a couple other people online, but we're going to wait and get to them. Those are the people primarily. Is that correct? Did I miss anybody that you wanted?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, so if you could just go ahead and go for the sectional sponsor statement, whatever you'd like to do.
So just to offer a little bit of history here, in 2010, this law was originally passed, and it was then and now continues to be an incentive for vessel owners to have insurance on their assets, their vessels, and, of course, to help cover their crew. At that time, there was that incentive was in place to provide for 50% of the deductible on the P&I, the protection and indemnity insurance, that's P&I, as an incentive. And so that was done experimentally to confirm or to monitor the solvency of the fund, confirm that it wouldn't weaken it in any way, and that is accordingly proven to be the case. And so at this time, the proposal here before you is to include the deductible be provided for at 100%, the full deductible up to $5,000. That would come out of the Commercial Fisherman's Fund. So in section one, again, it very simply, it reads pretty plainly on its face that it would change the current 50% reimbursement for that deductible up to 100%, excuse me, to 100% up to $5,000. Mm-hmm. That concludes the sectional, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, ma'am.
No, that's the simplest sectional analysis I think I've ever seen. So I guess at this time I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. So with that, I'm going to start with anyone in the room. If there's anybody in the room that would like to testify, please come forth.
Uh,
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is, for the record, Bob Kehoe. I'm the executive director of the Purse Seine Vessel Owners Association, and I'm also the vice president of United Fishermen of Alaska. And so here to ask for your support of Senate Bill 61. A little background. Purse Seine Vessel Owners Association is a commercial fishing trade association representing the small boat fleet operating throughout Alaska and the West Coast. Among other things, PSVOA manages three fisherman-owned marine insurance pools, which include approximately 900 member vessels. All profits generated by these marine insurance pools are distributed back to the fishermen members, which helps to keep down the cost of hull and liability insurance. You heard the term P&I insurance. It's protection and indemnity, kind of a fancy word for liability insurance. So our organization supports Senate Bill 61. As Mr. Lampkin pointed out, the bill expands upon the legislature's efforts in 2010 to provide a financial incentive to vessel owners to obtain insurance to fully cover their crew members in the event of an injury. And as the testimony earlier was, the Fisherman's Fund is meant to be a fund of last resort. And so, and it's limited in terms of benefits that it can pay. I think statutorily it's limited to $10,000, unless there's the board has discretion to award more money in certain instances. Vessel owners are not required by law to carry insurance for their crew members, which is different than shoreside employers who are required by law to insure their employees under the state workers' compensation system. In addition, the cost of vessel insurance is relatively high compared to rates paid by shoreside employers. For example, a Purse Seine operation typically has four crew members, and the cost of insuring the crew can be as high as $400 per man per month. As small independent business owners, the cost of liability insurance is a major fixed cost. This bill will ease the financial burden on vessel owners in paying the cost of insurance in terms of a deductible in the event of an injury, and will further promote the goal of ensuring all of the medical needs of an injured crew member are satisfied. So Purse Seine Vessel Owners respectfully request the committee's support in moving the bill forward. So thank you, and happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just looking through your fiscal note analysis, or the fiscal note analysis, I see that it averages from fiscal year 14 to 17, seven claims per year.
Yeah, that's right. And I see we do have folks from the Fisherman's Fund, Senator, and I would kind of defer those questions to them. But, yeah, because, you know, myself, I don't have personal knowledge, but yes, that's.
I would just, all I was going to say again, Madam Chair, I was just going to say it seems like an extremely healthy lot. I mean, seven does not seem, when you say you've got four crew members times, I mean, how many members do you have, or how many?
So we have 900. So, but I think that, though, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure I will be corrected, I think those are just folks that have taken advantage or have applied for this benefit of the half the deductible. I believe the number of injuries submitted to the Fisherman's Fund is greater than seven, I believe.
Yes. Sounds remarkably low to
Yes.
me, but I'd be interested in exploring that.
Because
more.
Fishing, I mean, it can be a dangerous occupation, although I will say that efforts are underway to continuously, I should say, improve upon the safety of the operation.
It just strikes me at four times nine. You know, if you've got 3,600 souls on board and you've only got seven claims averaging a year, that seems very low.
But yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank questions?
You. Thank you, Bob. And workers' comp, you want to come forth? These are his favorite people to grill, too.
Good afternoon. I'm Gray Mitchell, the director of the Division of Workers' Compensation, and I have here with me Velma Thomas, who's the administrator for the Fisherman's Fund. She's really the expert on a lot of the questions that you might have, but I'm certainly here to assist in any way I can with questions like this. And so go ahead and fire away.
Senator Birch.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just follow up. I'm just trying to get my head around how the fund works, and you know, if it's backstopping something else or other insurance. Obviously, I mean, seven claims out of 3,600. If it's 4 times 900, that seems way low. But I just was trying to understand kind of the dynamics of how many people are insured, you know, the frequency, and what other insurance is involved. Through the chair,
Senator Birch. I'll give you a high level and then turn it over to Velma to throw in some detailed numbers. Essentially, you have two groups that are potentially going to make claims against the Fisherman's Fund, which is a fund that's funded by commercial license fees. Mm-hmm. So when someone goes and gets a crew license, a resident pays $60. 39% of that fee goes into this Fisherman's Fund to then help pay the costs of medical care in case there's an injury. And so the two groups that I was talking about basically come down to fishermen who are not covered by any other kind of insurance. The vessel owner that they work for doesn't have a P&I policy. They come to the Fisherman's Fund, and it's not just the last resort, it's kind of their only resort. There is a limited benefit amount. It's $10,000 unless they do request additional benefits, which have to be approved by the Fisherman's Fund's council. Velma Thomas can probably provide you with a little bit more in terms of how often that happens. But it does happen, and it seems to be happening more as medical costs increase. So we're starting to see, you know, higher claims, and the $10,000 threshold is starting to become, you know, one of the, I mean, it, obviously many of the claims exceed that amount. And so the $10,000 does not provide a full compensation for those benefits. The other, so there's basically uninsured vessels, which all, their crew members really can only just come to the Fisherman's Fund. If there is a vessel owner that has a P&I policy in place, there's a deductible that vessel owner would have to pay when a claim is made against that policy. And so in this case, what this bill is doing is adjusting the reimbursement that the vessel owner can get when a claim is made against their P&I policy and they have to pay a deductible cost, to basically double that amount from 50% of the deductible up to 100% of the deductible to a maximum of $5,000. So someone who has insurance right now, P&I insurance, one of these vessel owners, their benefit is capped, or their benefit for their crew member from the Fisherman's Fund is capped at $5,000. For someone who's not insured, the benefit is capped at $10,000 for an individual that has injuries. And so those are basically the two groups that we're talking about. And when we talk about the seven claims on average, which that number is increasing. And so in previous testimony, it was mentioned that this reimbursement effort of the deductible amount was an effort to incentivize more vessel owners to carry P&I insurance so that when their crew members get hurt, they're not just stuck with going to the Fisherman's Fund and having their benefit capped at $10,000. They have a policy that covers the full potential cost of their injury, medical cost, and not only that, but also can cover you know, indemnity benefits or lost wages types of benefits. So that's basically the two groups that we're talking about. There's seven individuals who came forward on average and pursued this reimbursement of the deductible cost over the last 5 years. But the number of claims is closer to, what, 300?
273.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm kind of providing more of a high-level review than the details. And so if there's questions about exact numbers, I see Velma's got her list in very small font in front of her to be able to answer all those questions. So are there any other questions about the kind of the high-level piece of
it? No, that's very helpful. Thank you. So it's 39% of the $60 fee, so it's about $24 times all 900, or the 900 vessel owners times?
No, through the chair.
Yeah, just make sure you guys state your names because there's two men.
Oh,
I'm sorry. So that was Senator Birch, and this is Gray.
Yes, Gray Mitchell, Director of Workers' Compensation. Through the chair, Senator Birch. I'm sorry. Refresh my mind on your question again.
How many people are paying the? You said your revenue basically is 39% of a $60 fee.
Right.
So that's about $24, and I'm just trying to figure out times how many.
Yeah. Okay. So
people are paying that.
So through the chair, there's roughly 10,000 crew members who receive a commercial fishing license. Some of those are resident licenses. Some of those are non-resident licenses. The fee for a non-resident license per year is $280. And so the fee then is, it's 39% up to a maximum of $50. Oh. So in the case of a non-resident license, a maximum of $50 gets transferred into the Fisherman's Fund. The rest of that money goes to Fish and Game, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, those programs. There's also a percentage of the permit fees. And so in, I believe it was 2018, there was roughly 18,000 permits that were renewed by the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, and only 12,000 of those were actually fished. So if you're wondering about how many vessels there might be out there, and some vessels have multiple permits, but that kind of gives you an idea of how many there might be out there, somewhere in the, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 range. The revenue comes from those two sources, though, individual licenses for crewmen, and then also from permits for vessel owners. Great. And it's a $50 cap for both categories.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Okay, let's see. Is there anybody else who has questions right now?
I have one question.
Senator Click Bishop.
Thank you. Mr. Mitchell, I guess since you made the fiscal notes, you're comfortable with them and the assumptions?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, yes. We are comfortable with them. We do expect that they could be higher in actual numbers, but it's difficult to estimate. And turn it over to Velma Thomas just to kind of fill in the blank on that.
Through the chair to Senator Bishop. Yeah, I don't foresee that in the next couple of years we'll see a significant impact. We've seen a decrease in claims over the years, and that could be from our meetings we're hearing that there's more safety training possibly. It could be some effects of more fishermen are having to have their own personal insurance, and so we don't think there'll be a significant impact in at least the next two fiscal periods, fiscal years.
Thank you for that, Madam Chairman. Follow up.
Absolutely.
And I would agree with your assumptions. I would say that you've got a 100% decrease in incidents over a 4-year period. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And whenever you're ready to cover fiscal notes, ma'am, I'll do that.
Okay, I think we'll do it right after on public testimony. Okay, thank you, Senator Bishop. Did I see hand? Okay, great. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your testimony. My question is, this may be a hard question to answer, but are there any instances, possible instances, where somebody gets hurt and decides not to file a claim? Thank you,
yes.
Madam Chair.
Through the chair, Member Gray Jackson, yes, that is possible. We only have statistics on fishermen who actually file claims, and that's either through the medical provider. Most of the providers in Alaska, your big providers, Providence, I'm just going blank now, but most of them are aware of the Fisherman's Fund, and so we try and work with them to answer questions. A lot of them have packets already if fishermen come in, but then you have some who maybe fish for a season and go back home out of state, and they may never file a claim.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sure.
Okay, excellent. I'm glad you were here, Velma and Gray. So if you can just take a seat, but stay close in case there's other questions. I'm going to see if there's anybody else in the room. And if is this public testimony? Okay, so let me open public testimony, okay? I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony. So if you can please step forth and get your, we already know your name, but you can put your name and affiliation on the record for our recorders. That sure helps them.
Good afternoon, Senator Reinbold and State Labor and Commerce Committee members. For the record, my name is Frances Leach, and I'm the Executive Director of United Fishermen of Alaska. UFA is the largest statewide commercial fishing trade association, and we represent 35 commercial fishing organizations and hundreds of commercial fishermen and crew members participating in state and federal waters in the state of Alaska. I'll make this short and simple. We support this bill. And we have continued to support this bill, and we'd like to thank Senator Stevens for bringing this forward once again. Crew members working on commercial fishing vessels are not covered under the Alaska Workers' Compensation System. If a crew member becomes injured while working on a vessel, they are entitled to receive benefits from their employer as established under federal maritime law. These benefits include payment of the crew member's medical bills for treatment of work-related injuries. This bill will enable commercial fishing vessels to purchase insurance for crew members, which is always a good thing in this line of work. Injuries can and do happen. In closing, we have a letter of support, which I believe you have all received. And once again, I would just like to thank you for this opportunity and go on record that UFA supports this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Frances. Appreciate that. I'm going to see if there's anybody else in the room before I get to just off net. Clay, you're on deck, so I'm going to see if there's anyone else in the room that would like to testify. Does not appear at this time. So, Clay Bezanek from Ketchikan, if you could please proceed.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, it's loud and clear.
Oh, hey, good afternoon. I want to thank the committee for picking this up, and Senator Stevens especially for shepherding this. I kind of wear a bunch of hats. I'm on the Fisherman's Fund Board, and I'm a member of UFA and CIFA and the Gilmetter, Southeast Gilmetter. So I just want to go in support of this. We passed a bill in 2010 that increased the limit, and when we did that, we were concerned. We're the shepherd keepers of the fund, everybody on the board. And I maybe have a little bit of extra special pressure because I'm seated on Ole Means' seat from Ketchikan, and he was one of the founders of the fund, so there's just a little bit of extra pressure there. But we put stop gaps in the bill in 2010 so that if there were an inordinate number of claims to the fund, the fund would be protected. We have stop gaps at different funding levels if the fund gets drawn down quickly. So we thought of that, and then this is just a housekeeping measure, pretty much. We were concerned there would be a lot of P&I claims on the fund when we went from 2,500 to 10,000. So we ran 100 scenarios, and Pete Eklund was one of the, all you guys that know Pete, you know he's one of the best bean counters up there. Well, he ran this through a menage of a whole bunch of scenarios, and so we feel that we're protected. Now we're fine on the fund for sure to allow the P&I holders, the guys that are actually responsible and carry insurance on their crewmen, to have the deductible paid off instead of them, being burdened with the financial part of it for being responsible, right? So that's all I have. I just am thankful for all you guys working on this, and if you have any questions, I'm standing by here.
Thank you, Clay. We appreciate that very much. So I'm going to do one final call in the room. Okay, with that, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. And so with that, Mr. Senator Click, Bishop, do you mind going over the fiscal notes?
Sure. Could I just briefly ask Mr. Lampkin to come back to the table?
Absolutely.
Just one quick thing. And thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Lampkin, you can educate me here. So there's an effective date. Do you want one?
For the record, Tim Lampkin, Staff at Senator Stevens. I'm not entirely certain that it would be necessary, but...
Okay. It's fine. That's all I need to know.
Also, while I'm here, I guess I'd like to point out through the chair, Senator Birch, there were some questions about numbers and statistics. I'd bring to your attention, in your packet should be a document titled Fisherman's Fund Fact Sheet. It's got a lot of good data in there for you.
Through the chair, thank you very much for pointing that out. I had been zeroing in on my fiscal note section and did not see that initially, but thank you for that. It's good information.
So we've asked the finance member of the committee to go over fiscal notes, and also because Senator Stevens, also Tim, and also Gray Mitchell is in the room. So thank you, Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Fiscal notes are in our binders. Department of Labor, Workforce Development, appropriation is workers' compensation, allocations to the Fisherman's Fund, OMB component numbers 343, sponsor Senator Stevens. It's a fund source is 1032, Fisherman's Fund. It's designated general funds, $16,100. On the analyses on the second page, I'll just cut to the chase and go to the bottom line. There is sufficient revenue in the Fisherman's Fund to cover the increased liability.
Thank you. Any comments from members? Okay, with that, this is normally not how we do labor and commerce, like getting a bill, introducing it, and moving it out on the same day, but I love your fact sheet. I mean, that was incredibly impressive. I've got to make sure it's the will of the committee, but you literally removed three words and added five words. It's one little tiny sectional. We've gone through the fiscal notes, so I just want to make sure if people are comfortable today. I just want a quick nod from committee members. Okay, so with that, do you have any final closing comments, Senator Stevens or Tim?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, and with that, Vice Chairman?
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 61, version 31-LS0528 /alpha from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Thank you. And instead of gaveling out to sign paperwork, I want to go ahead and do closing comments right now so then people can get on their way after they sign the paperwork. Our next scheduled meeting will take place this Thursday at 1:30, March 7th, and we intend to take up more of the governor's appointees. As you know, we got lots and lots and lots of them in this committee, so we're really trying to work hard to get through them. And we also have a very important presentation on professional licensing from Sarah Chambers to shine a light on where we can improve the process and ensure that Alaskans that are ready to work can get their licenses and actually get to work. So with that, we've concluded our business for today at 2:17 p.m.